Chapter 2. Jesus Serrano stopped his group on a flat, open stretch of pebbly sand squeezed between two towering rock formations. They had crossed the border 10 minutes ago, having unceremoniously stepped over a sagging, rust-covered string of long-forgotten barbed wire. The hike to the border, from their drop-off point on the far outskirts of La Rumorosa, had taken about 2 hours in the pitch darkness, over very uneven terrain. Normally, he would keep them moving away from the border until they crossed Interstate 8, but he wasn't worried about getting busted tonight. For reasons still unknown, the U.S. Border Patrol had quit watching this stretch of the border about a month ago. Based on what he had learned from other coyotes working the Jacumba area, not a single crossing within a 1.5-mile stretch of border immediately west of the San Diego County line on the United States side had been stopped. What had previously been a relatively busy but dangerous crossing area had turned into a cash cow for the coyotes and the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, a free-for-all attracting migrants from as far away as Tijuana and areas south of Yuma. Now, the only threat to his journey came from the Sinaloa cartel sicarios sent to infiltrate groups of migrants and murder the coyotes. The Jacumba crossing sat close to the constantly shifting territorial border between the two cartels, and up until a month ago it hadn't attracted much attention from the Sinaloa bosses. With human smuggling revenues quadrupled in the area, it had quickly become one of the more hotly contested geographic points on the border. He waited for the stragglers to catch up before directing the 2 dozen or so ragtag travelers to take cover in the low brush on the side of the small river. Despite nearly 30 days of zero hassle, he still took basic precautions in case anyone was out looking for them. It wasn't a major problem in this area, but armed civilian vigilantes patrolled parts of the border in New Mexico and Texas, keeping the group concealed as much as was practical without slowing down the trip, made sense to him. Jesus also wanted to take a moment to examine his cargo after the strenuous first leg of the journey. Anyone who didn't tend to basic needs, like sitting down to drink water, going to the bathroom, or adjusting their footwear, went on his short list of infiltration suspects. He had been doing this for 3 years and had never seen a legitimate migrant pass up an opportunity to rest, rehydrate, and adjust their gear. Then again, until recently, they rarely got the chance. He walked up and down the tight cluster a few times, not detecting anything out of the ordinary. After draining one of the water bottles he carried in his backpack, he checked the time. A few more minutes and they'd get back on the trail. The next 3 miles were the most difficult, pitting them against uphill, rocky terrain until they reached one of the dry creek beds that would lead them to the interstate, where Jesus's leg of their long journey ended. A car would pick him up and drive him to Calexico, 35 miles to the east, where he would cross back into Mexico to lead another group of migrants over the border. The sooner he got to the drop-off point, the better. He'd been running 2 groups a night for the Jalisco New Generation Cartel since the Border Patrol vanished, and Mexicali was still under Sinaloa Cartel control. It would take him a little while to run counter-surveillance on the streets of Mexicali before his Jalisco New Generation contact could pick him up. If it took too long, he'd have to really push the next group of migrants to reach the interstate before dawn. Failing to reach the drop-off point before sunrise meant he had to spend the day out there with them, under the blazing sun, until nightfall. The setback would cost him a second run the next night and a few $1,000s.
"Okay, time to get moving," said Jesus. "Tie your shoes, take another sip of water. We won't be stopping for..."
The ground shook violently, followed immediately by a series of sharp crunches that reverberated off the canyon's rock walls and echoed for several eerie seconds. At first, he thought it was the start of an earthquake, but the thunderclaps were like nothing he'd ever heard before. His second thought was a suicide bomber. He wouldn't put anything past the Sinaloa cartel. Most of the migrants scattered, only a small cluster of dark shapes.